All right, Rabotai, one word on the one word on the Haftarah. Famous Haftarah of Naaman. Naaman Sar Seba Melech Aram. Naaman was the general of Aram, Ish Gadol. Ve'ish Haya Gibur Hayil. But he was Metzora. Naaman had leprosy. The Aram, he didn't know what to do with his leprosy, this guy. So they told him, why don't you go to the prophet Elisha? So Vishlach Elav Elisha Malach Lemor. So Elisha sent Naaman Malach, Shaliach. Vayavo Naaman. Naaman came to the prophet. Ve'yamod petach habayit Elisha. So he stood in front of Elisha's house to get Ve'yamod petach habayit Elisha. So he came to Elisha's house to get the beracha. So Elisha doesn't come out of his tent. Vayishlach alav Elisha malach. Haloch. Haloch v'rachat sheva pa'amim b'yarden. He tells him, go take a bath 7 times. In the Yarden, the Jordan River. Yeah, he didn't tell him directly. Elisha didn't come out to greet Naaman. He sent one of his aides. He said, listen, the prophet said, go take a mikveh in the Jordan 7 times. And then your skin, your leprosy will go away. Vayiksof Naaman. Naaman got angry. Vayomer hineh amarti elai yetze yatzo v'amad v'kara v'shem Hashem Elohav. I thought he's going to come stand in front of me. He says, hineh amarti, I thought to myself, yetze yatzo v'amad, he'll come out and stand, v'kara v'shem Hashem Elohav, and he'll call out to God, v'enif yado l'makom, and he'll get rid of it. Elo tov amana uparpar. I could have stayed home and went to the rivers of Amana and Parpar in Damascus. מכל בימי ישראל הלו הרחץ מהם ותיהרתי. What do you bring me over here for? ואיפן וילך מחיימה. So he left. He was all angry. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Why he should be why should be upset? The prophet is telling him what to do, to go dip 7 times in the Yarden. So he gets all offended. He says, why I came all over here? I could have stayed in Damascus. I could have went to the Amana and the Parpar. There are better rivers than this. What's the difference how he cures you? If he told you to do 10 jumping jacks, also, what's the difference? He's a prophet. He gets all offended, so offended that he says, I'm not interested, he goes home. But Yeshua Abadab, they said, listen, the prophet told you, do it. What do you have to lose? The Hasutar. Ve'al te'achar. Ve'yered ve'yidbol ve'yerden sheva pa'ami. So he goes into the Jordan. Ve'yashva besaro kibsar na'ar katon ve'yitar. his skin became like a baby. Ve'yashu v'adisha Elohim hu v'chol ma'aneh. So he comes back to the prophet. Ve'yavo v'yamod lefanav. So he stands in front of him. Ve'yomen hinena yadati. I realize ki en Elohim v'chol ha'aris. There's no other God in the world. Please, I want to give the Navi something. Matana for the yeshiva. Ve'yomen hay Hashem. Asher amati lefanav. I swear to God, the God that I stood in front of, imekah, if I take anything. Ve'yiftzar bo lakat, he tried to force him to take, by ma'en, he said, I'm not taking anything.
This is a goy, right?
Na'aman's a goy. He chose the prophet. Ve'yomen na'aman, ve'lo yutana la'abdecha, masas, something, let me give. Nothing, he says. ביום מלו לך לשלום, and they departed. That's the haftarah that they read in Tazriya. The surah is the continuation. Actually, of a later one. You have to go to the Navi and read the rest of the story. The rest of the story, the Navi, it says, ויאמר לו לך לשלום, ויאמר גחזי נער אלישע איש אלוהים. Gehazi came back. And Gehazi comes back. Gehazi was Elisha's servant, Shamosh. So after Elisha said, I'm not taking anything, Gehazi goes back and he tells Naaman, he changed his mind. You know, Naaman's thrilled. Oh, b'chavod, meanwhile, Gehazi is going to take it for himself. So Gehazi is a little greedy. So he gives him a few things over there. Now Gehazi comes back after he siphoned all the money from Naaman. Where'd you come from? In Jaya. Go anywhere. He doesn't realize this, he forgot his rabbi is a prophet. Although I wasn't there, my heart was there. I saw exactly what you did. You took the money. Look how much you took. Even though the Pasuk only says you took a few suits. But he tells him like he took the whole estate. Sara'at Na'aman tadak mecha uzarakha le'olam. The sara'at of Na'aman should go on you and on your children forever. Cursed his student Gehazi, v'yitze melefanav mitzorat kashale. That's it. He left him, he became white like snow. Of Sara'at. And then all his children also, like we read in Haftarah Mitzurah, Arba'a Mitzura'im. Four Mitzura'im sat at the front of the gate. Who was that? Exactly. That was Gehazi and his children. So the curse came true. This story is very hard to understand. What does he mean when he says, I could have stayed home and I could have went into the rivers of Amanan Parpar? Obviously he knows it's not the Jordan that's doing anything. It's the Navi. As if he's so smart, Na'aman. He comes, I came all the way over here to take a bath in the Jordan River. I could have stayed home and done that. And so first of all, so why didn't you do it till now if you could have done that? You didn't do it anyway. And not only that, you know it's not the Jordan River that's giving the fu'ah. It's the Navi that's giving the refuah. So what is he getting all upset that he had to go out of his way to go dip in the Jordan River? Oh, as if he slided. And then he comes along and says, I thought he's going to come out to greet me. So that she says on those words, Middabir, I mean, he would have talked to me, V'yir'e et acholi. He would have given him a diagnosis. What's the difference? He looks at him and not looks at him. Bottom line, they told the prophet, the guy's got tzara'at. He's got to look at the tzara'at. He knows what tzara'at looks like. Now they tell me, the rabbis, they tell me, I want you to come to the yeshiva, come see it. I learn in yeshiva all day long. What are you going to show me? Guys sitting down with a book learning? I do that all day long. No, you got to see it. You got to see it. I thought, tell me the surprise that I'm not going to see by going, that I don't know. You don't. It's not the same. I go, what do I see?
The same thing.
So the guy's learning when he goes, isn't it amazing? I said, well, come here. I do the same thing over here. I got to go there and see the same thing. My picture's better than what I'm looking over here. So what is he upset about? What is he upset about, Naaman? I was, hey, how come he didn't come out to see me? What, they have to see you? He knows it. He knows what Sana'at looks like. So he says, he should have came out to see me. The person was, Va'amad v'kara b'shem Hashem. He would have stood in front of me and prayed. And if he sits, Naaman is it seems that the tzara'at affects your IQ.
Your brain.
Brain. Say better. Say the brain. Which means he's talking like an imbecile. The guy. He says, "I thought he was going to come out and see me, and he would stand in front of me. What do you care if he stands or sits? And if he brings the beach chair out and he sits down and gives you the fu'ah, you care?
He's looking kabul.
Not saying he's looking for kabul, but the way he's talking, he stands up. He has to stand in front of you first of all. Who are you? You're going to the rabbi." The rabbi stands up in front of who stands in front of who? The doctor stands in front of the patient, or the patient stands in front of the doctor?
Well, bedside manner from the doctor.
What did you say?
Bedside manner. Some doctors are the big doctors, they don't have
to. But you're going to get a beracha from Hacham Avadia. You want him to stand for you? You're the guy that needs the beracha. So he has claims. Oh, I thought he's going to come out and stand in front of me and give me barakah. Who reckon you, Naaman? Goy. Goy Rasha'a Mitzura'a. There's a reason why he had Sara'at.
Why is he fixing it then?
Because he wants to make Kiddush Hashem. And then Gehazi takes the money, whatever that's all about. Obviously, Gehazi is a greedy guy. I mean, to his credit, he was wrong, Gehazi. But the Navi says he took a few suits and a couple of loaves of bread, whatever he took. But he comes along and he tells him, you took, if you look at the Pesukim, the Pasuk says, I was there. Elisha says, I was there when you took all this stuff. You think I wasn't there? I'm a prophet. My heart was there. He says, Ha'et lakachta et hakesef. He writes a whole list of stuff he never took even. And the Pasuk says Lakahta twice. It says Lakahta Takese, Velakahta Begadim, Bezetim, Bekeramim. Why Lakahta twice? By the way, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, Umi Shakil Kulehai? Did he take all the stuff? So the Gemara says that at that time Gehazi and Elisha were learning. They were learning the Gemara together. He was a student. Gehazi was a student of Elisha. What were they learning? Masechet Shabbat. Which perek? Shemona Shiratzim. It talks about the eight Shiratzim that are tameh, the eight rodents that the Torah says when they die, they're tameh. So the Gemara says, Amar bi Yitzhak beota sha'a ya Elisha osik b'shmona shiratzim. Amar le, so Elisha tlas Gehazi, rasha, higia et liton sacha shmona shiratzim. Now it's time for you to get the reward for the masikha that we learned together, shmona shiratzim. Which means, you think you took these eight items in order to get reward because we're learning shmona shiratzim? You know, as if he's saying, listen, you cashed out. Because we learned Shemunat Shiratzim, you should have waited for Olam Abba to get your reward. Instead, you took your reward for the eight Shiratzim that we learned. You took the eight items. First of all, he didn't take eight items. And what in the world, the Shemunat Shir HaSid, because they were learning, have to do with what he's talking about? Nazor HaKadosh asks a question on this. What do you want from his children? You understand Gehazi deserves to be leopard. Because bottom line, Elisha told him, I'll take the leprosy away for you for free. Once you get money, you get money, you get the leprosy also with it. The leprosy was taken away for nothing. But once already you want to get paid, okay, so you got to suffer the consequences also. So I don't have a problem that Gehazi becomes a leper. But what do you want from his children? What do his children do? What do his children do? Oh, the leprosy of your children and the grandchildren, ad olam. Obviously, they were guilty of something as well. So Zohar asks, so if they were guilty, what does he wait? Let him curse them before even Gehazi made the Avon. Obviously, his children were guilty of something. You don't get punished for nothing, yeah? So if they were guilty, so he should have punished them a month before. Why does he wait for Gehazi to make the sin? And by the way, Kinyan Agav, you're going to get punished, we're going to get your kids also. So the Mefarshim explain like this. The Mefarshim say there's a big difference between when a person gets a result through a beracha or through a tefillah. There's a difference between a beracha and a tefillah. What's a beracha? What's a tefillah? Beracha is, you should be matzliyah. Somebody gives you a blessing. Bezat Hashem, you should have panasah. It's a blessing. Like we go to the Gedolim, we get blessings. The tatzliyah.
Buha.
Huh?
Buha.
Buha. Buha. What's buha?
It's buha.
Kanievsky says, bracha v'atlecha, not to wait time. It's buha.
Okay, buha. So now, it's a beracha. Okay, but this wasted more bitu Torah because of that. So instead of him wasting, he wasted for 50 people. So now, the explanation is like this. What's the difference if you get a beracha? Or you pray for it. What's the difference? Bottom line, I get it. Do I care how I got it? If I got the parnasah because I got a beracha, or I got the parnasah because I made a tefillah. What's a tefillah? Pray to Hashem. Oh, but why? What's the nafkamina? What's the difference? What do I care how I get it? Bottom line, I got the money. Bottom line, the kid got married. Nachpati, if it came from a beracha, or it came from tefillah. So the tzaddikim write a big chiddush. They said that something that comes through a beracha not necessarily has kiyum. It doesn't have necessarily a endurance. Endurance doesn't endure. However, something that comes through via tefillah is solid. Tefillah is able to bring a conclusive davar kayam. It's a big hadush. So people always think, beracha, beracha, beracha. Tefillah is much higher. If the tzaddik tells you, yiratzom, and if that bidu shema shamayim, that's already tefillah. That's a higher level. But he just says, everything should be good. It's a beracha of a tzaddik. But the tefillah of the person is much better. And that's why the Gemara says that when it talks about tefillah, the Gemara Berachot says, where do we learn that Avraham Avinu prayed? So it says, Ela makom asher amad sham. It says he went to the place where he stood. So the Gemara says, what is amad sham? Ve'en amidah ela tefilah. Amidah is referring to tefilah. That's another word for tefilah. Shene'emar. Ve'yamod pinehas ve'yfalel. So you see the Gemara calls tefilah amidah. Why? Because what does amidah mean? Something that stands. En amidah ela tefilah. If a person wants the result to stand, to be omed, en amidah ela tefilah. That can only come through, not through berachot. Berachot can be a temporary item. In mincha we say on Shabbat Kodesh. In mincha tam, that's the highest level of the week, mincha. La'avad ra'avin. Ba'ani tefillati lecha adonai et rason. Elohim b'rab hastecha aneni be'emet yishaycha. What does aneni be'emet? Emet is something that's forever. Emet doesn't change. Emet doesn't fluctuate. Something that's emet is le'ol me'ad. Sfat emet tikon la'ad. So we're saying, at this time in Mincha, v'ani tefillati lecha adonai et rason. At this et rason, I'm making a tefillah. We're making sure that it's clear. This request is a tefillah. And therefore, aneni adonai therefore, the result has to be emet, because it's made a tefillah. When the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt, so they get to Yamsuf. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? He sees the Yamsuf over there. So he starts to pray. That's a normal reaction. What are you going to do with that time? So what does God tell Moshe? What are you praying for? And Rashi brings down, Lo et tefillah. It's not a time of praying. Harem et matecha, just pick up your stick and split the sea. The Midrash's language actually is, Lo et tefillah aruka ve'lo tefillah ketzara. Not a time, not for a long prayer, and not for a short prayer. Hacham Baruch Alav Hashem used to explain it like this. He said Moshe Rabbeinu would make two prayers in his life. One was a very long prayer. That was the 40 days and 40 nights when he prayed after the Egel. And he would make a very short prayer. That was the 5 words that he said, El Narefan Allah, when he cured Miriam. So he says, Lo et lo tefila aruka, like you're going to make a 40-day prayer, velo et tefila ketzara, which you're going to make a short prayer. And that's why God said to Moshe, Ma tis'ak, ma is mem he. Lo tefila aruka of mem, and lo tefila ketzara of he. Which is the only time you have to pray is ma tis'ak elai. Only ma, only the mem and the he. Mem yom and he milim. But now, no tefillah, the bir of Esav Yisrael. Question is why? Which is, he said, this miracle of Kiryat Yamsuf cannot come through tefillah. You know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, I did tefillah, when the sea would split, it would never go back. So therefore he said, don't pray over here, because you don't want this to be permanent. So therefore, let it split temporary ayyadeh haka'ah, and then when the Egyptians go to, you want it to go back. There's no head tefillah. This is not a time of a tefillah. The tefillah is going to ruin the whole situation over here. You have to know when to pray, when not to pray. You don't want this to be a permanent situation. Therefore, that's the way the Darshanim explained it, why I told them that it's not a time for tefillah. Which means this is nothing that wants to be forever. So that's what it means when it says En Amida Ela Tefillah. En Amida Ela Tefillah means it has endurance, it stands. Oh. So therefore when you go to the Tzaddikim, it's good to go to the Tzaddikim to get Berachot, but it's better to pray. Nothing is higher than the tefillah of the person, or the tefillah of somebody praying for him. Call him a mitpalel al habero. Today we became obsessed with berachot, berachot, but the higher than berachot is tefillah.
Why go if you have a direct line?
That's it. He's right. So why do you go?
You want somebody holier than you. It's, in the head, we think.
Correct, but it's not so. Tefillah, there's nothing greater here. Take the sidur, open it up. Tefillah la'ani ki atof, lefnei Adonai yishpok sicho. So now what happens? Hannah goes to the Beit HaMikdash and she prays. She didn't have a child. So what happens? She gets answered after she prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And then what happens? She takes the baby Shemuel and she sends him to the to Shemuel to be a student of Shemuel and Nabi. He was only a few years old, it says. So what happens? She goes and she checks on the son to see how he's doing in the yeshiva. So Eliyahu Kohen was his rabbi. Eli says, your son is an incredible genius. He's a child prodigy. There's nobody like him. He never saw a kid like this since Moshe Rabbeinu. But, I'm sorry to tell you, he's Hayav Mita. And he's going to die tomorrow morning. And that's it. He said, what are you talking about? What did he do? So he says, because he was a little fresh. What happened? We needed to bring a korban, so I was looking for a kohen to make the shechita and the korban. So while I was asking Rabotai, is there a kohen? Is there a kohen? He came along and got up and said, "You don't need a kohen for shechita. Shechita kashira bezar. Even a non-kohen can make shechita." So Hannah said, "Was he right?" He said, yeah, "He's right." So what are you killing him for? Because who is he to say halakha in front of his rabbi? If I said get a kohen, you got a kohen. It's more halakha b'fnei rabbo. I was only 2 years old. 2 years old, 2 years old. That's it. That's what I'm saying. This is what's going to happen over here. So he tells her, but you don't have to worry, because I'm going to give you a better child. Which means, don't worry. He's only 2 years old. I'm going to replace him, and you're going to get a better kid, smarter, brighter. So what did Hannah answer the prophet, Eli? He comes along and she comes along and says to Eli, I'm not looking for a substitute, I'm not asking for an exchange. She says, Elana arazet palalti. I prayed for this one. So everybody reads this pasuk. Now what's the main word in the pasuk? Hazeh. I want this one. What do you care? This one, that one. What's the difference? You want a child. Obviously, she wasn't so emotionally attached. I mean, she gave him up at 2 years old to the Beit HaMikdash. So what do you care? This one or another one? What's the difference? The main word of the pasuk is not zeh. Exactly. She comes along and says, what are you talking about? It's impossible. Huh?
What's the main word?
I said it right. You missed it. So that's the main word. Emil also missed it. Two people can miss it. The main word is it palalti. Because what is he saying? She's saying it's impossible. It's impossible that this can happen to this child over here. I didn't get this child by coming to you and getting a beracha. If this child came as a result of beracha, so maybe he could get exchange for another one. But palalti. And I was answered through tefillah. And therefore, so I was answered through tefillah, I cannot accept it. She was telling Ali, this is the rules. You thought I got it through a beracha? I didn't get it through a beracha. Therefore, impossible. Some reason, Ali accepted that claim. And Ali said, okay, leave me alone. So you see, it worked. Even though Shemuel was hayab because he did something, but since he was a result of a tefillah that was heartfelt, so tefillah, even when there's a reason for it to get sidetracked, the tefillah puts it right back on. Here there was a reason for Shemuel to get killed. She's impossible. It's tefillah. I'm not interested. And for whatever reason, Eli changed his mind. So you see, that's something that comes ayedet. So when you pray for your children for shidduchim, much better to pray than get berachot only. Good. But you want them to be married forever. You want them to have endurance. So therefore, you have to make tefillah. All these things are, and you're praying for children, all that. You cannot only just ask for berachot. That doesn't mean the berachah cannot last forever, but there's no guarantee. But it, things that are answered through tefillah have a kiyum. That's why it says, when we go to, what's better, to pray for a chole by his bedside or not in front of him? Why? You said perfectly. This is correct. So it's always better to pray in front of the Shekhinah than to pray not in front of the Shekhinah. Give me another reason. Give me another reason. Huh?
You don't have to mention his name.
And what's the difference if you mention his name or not? Okay, I'm not a Kabbalist like you are. Dinim. What do you know from Dinim, not Dinim? The point is, when you go in front of the Choleh, you see him. You pray harder. They tell you, so-and-so sick in the hospital. What's his name? Abraham bin Sarah. Fasheba. You go to the hospital, you see the guy, tubes, and oh my God, I can't believe it. What? When you're in front of the guy, the tefillah is much... much struggle, you know, you see it. It's me'olev hamid, sympathy. Oh. Na'aman, he knew that Elisha could give him a blessing. He knew, Elisha is a big tzaddik. All he has to tell him, if Ashelema, boom, he'll get better in 2 minutes. But Na'aman wasn't coming for a beracha. Because Naaman says, beracha, who knows if it might come back. So what happens? He figures he's going to come to the prophet, and Elisha is going to come out, and look at him, and say, Hazit, oh my gosh, oh, Ribbono shel Olam. He doesn't do that. He sends out the shaliach, go tell him to jump in the river. Jump in the river? I didn't ask for berachot over. That's segula. Jump in the river. I could have stayed home and jumped in the Parpar River. What did he bring me over here? The only reason why I came is for the tefillah of the tzaddik. That's for the berachah of the tzaddik. Why did he bring me over here? He should have told me, long distance, stay home and go dip in the Parpar River. Segulot. There's segulot all over the place over there. Go take a red string, put it on your finger. I didn't come for a red string. I came for the tefillah. Oh. So that's why if you look at the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk's language is by Na'aman, what does he say? I'm reading the Pasukim here. Vayomer, hine amarti elai yetze yatzo. I thought he's going to come out. Ve'amad. What do you mean, ve'amad? Not that he's going to stand. Ve'amad is going to pray in amida ela tefillah. I was waiting for that question. When it comes to Dirash, you can't ask on that. Because we're not saying Na'aman really knew this, but if the Pesukim wrote it this way, it's to come to teach us the lesson. Na'aman didn't know nothing. Na'aman's a goy. But when the Navi writes it down, he's writing all these remazim. So we have to fit all this into the story. Whether Na'aman knew it or not, doesn't matter. But why did the Navi write it like this? Ela, to teach us a lesson in how the mechanics work. But you're right, Na'aman probably didn't know any of this over here. So Na'aman comes along and says in the Pesukim, I thought he's going to come and what? Not going to stand or sit. He didn't care if he's going to recline. And he comes along and says, V'amad v'kara b'shem Hashem Elohav. I thought he's going to be mitpalel for me. I could have stayed home. V'yelek b'chema. Of course, why should I get let down? Why should I get the beracha? Get better. And then next year it's going to come back again. I'm suffering for all my life. Leave it. I don't need to get... So what happens? He goes into the water. They tell him, what are you being stubborn for? What are you being an idiot for? They told you to do it. You're not a prophet, Ta'aman. What do you know? So he goes into the water. He listens. They get him to do it. All of a sudden he sees that his flesh came back like a baby. So he says, this was not a regular refuah. He saw it came back like a baby. So he was suspecting what happened over here. So what does Elisha tell Naaman? He explains to him what he did. He says, you think that I just sent you to go in the river and I gave you a beracha? Listen to the language he says. He tells him, Vayashuv Elisha Elohim. And he tells him, Vayavo v'yamod lefanav. He stands in front of him. Hinenaya da'ati. I know there's no God like God. Vayomer. Hay Hashem asher amati lefanav imekach vayifsar bo. What does the prophet answer? Vayomer Hay Hashem, I swear to God asher amati lefanav. At that point, he tells Naaman, I prayed for you. But I didn't let you know that I prayed for you when you were going in the river. What was I doing in my tent? I was praying my head off for you in the tent over there. You thought, I just told you, go jump in the river, Tatsliya, Bahu, Dahu, whatever you said. So he says, no. He says, Asher Amati Lefanav. Asher Amati Lefanav. So he goes, oh, Mahila, I'll be sure. I didn't realize what was going on over here. I didn't realize what was going on over here. This is a real Tefillah. So then the question is, so then why didn't he go out there? What does he have to do this whole charade? So explanation is, what's one of the reasons why a person gets leprosy? Many reasons why a person gets leprosy. One of the reasons is eggs. If you eat eggs, I'm joking, eggs. There's eczema. When a person is a ga'ava, arrogance brings leprosy. Ge'ut. This guy Naaman was a ge'eh, like you said right away. So he's a ge'eh. So Elisha, before he could pray, first he has to cure him from his midot. And then I could pray to get rid of him. But if the guy's a ge'eh, so what does he do? He puts him in his place. He comes big shot. Where's the rabbi? The rabbi's not coming out to see you. He sent one of his... Oh, I'm going home. Go home. You get it. Who needs who? You need me or I need you? So they tell him, Naaman, Dirbala, go into the waters. Listen. So he broke himself. That was difficult for Naaman to do. That was difficult for him to... But on purpose, Elisha said, that's part of the refuah. You think everyone's going to kiss you, you're going to come out, oh, Naaman is over here, oh, Baruch Abba, Bosito, bow to the guy, blah, blah, blah. Elisha doesn't kiss up to Naaman, on the contrary, on the purpose he says, you have to lower yourself a bit. The whole world doesn't stop because Naaman is here. The Prophet sends out his shamosh, you want to listen, listen. You don't want to listen? Good luck to you, remain a mitzvah for the next 1,000 years, who cares? And he failed the test, Naaman. Take your time, Abe. Originally he told them, he said, I'm going home. Originally he told them, I'm going home. His gava couldn't, he couldn't overcome the gava. But all of a sudden, what happened? After they told him, listen, don't be stubborn, don't be an idiot, don't be a fool, don't be like that. He swallowed the gava. And that's why he told them, why didn't he tell him go dip in the Yarden? He could have told him a million to go climb a tree. Again, since anyway, it's not the Yarden, it's the tefillah of Elisha. Because when a person goes in the mikveh, how does he have to dip in the mikveh? He has to bend. exactly. Bend yourself. Humble yourself. Seven times. He has to go like this. Takhriya. This was part of, learn to bend your head. This was therapy for Naaman. Learn to put your head down. Once already you learn the ga'ava, get rid of it. And now I can make my tefillah. What do you think? I gave you a beracha. I'm giving you a refuah yisodi. I'm giving you a refuah from the core. Okay. So he offers to give him something. I'm not taking anything. I'm not interested. Then what happens? Gehazi goes. Gehazi comes along and says, listen, the prophet changed his mind. What do you got? Oh, so Naaman was thrilled. This Gehazi is a greedy guy. Rasha Merusha. This is stolen money. This is Ken Gazal min Naaman. It's a Gezel Agoy. Of course, Gehazi probably justified it. He wanted to pay it. Anyway, it's Hefker money. He probably stole it from somebody else, Naaman. Listen, the prophet doesn't work for nothing. The prophet doesn't work for nothing. The Shamosh is underpaid. Yeah, I'm taking my own money. You can justify stealing, I don't have to tell you. Elisha was very upset at this. Bottom line, this is not kosher money. This is not kosher money. First of all, you made halul Hashem. You undid the kiddush Hashem. Because when Naaman walked away, he said, unbelievable. You ever see a rabbi that doesn't ask for money? This was Nes Gadol Hashem. The rabbi came, did him a favor, did everything. He wants to pay him? So all the rabbis today are making up for it. Elisha didn't take. They're making up for the tikkun of Elisha. Would have been better if he took. If he would have took last night, he would have took. No. Elisha, what he didn't take, everybody's taking today. Okay. So now what happens? Oh. So he comes along and says, you're Rasha Merusha. He says, you took the money. You took the this. You took the that. I took one item. And he tells you, you took eight items. Explanation they say is like this. He was telling Gehazi, Gehazi, you don't know how the Yetzer Hara works. You cannot give into the Yetzer Hara an iota. Because once you start giving into the Yetzer Hara, today he says do this, tomorrow he says do this, and tomorrow do it. Avera goreret avera. Of course, which means the Yetzer Hara, how did you get the person to smoke two packs of cigarettes a day? He doesn't start, two packs. Not one cigarette. One puff, he tells you. His friend says, try it. Nah, I'm not interested. He said, just try one puff and give it to me back. He gives him the cigarette. He goes like this. Of course, I'll never do it again. He got him. Finish, he got him. He got him. When he forgets the coughing and he forgets that he couldn't breathe, he takes two puffs. Two puffs is one cigarette. One is three. Three is a pack. A pack is two. And then all of a sudden, 20 years later, he's thinking to himself, when did this start? That day that your friend gave you to take one puff. You became an addict to this item over here. You understand? Ayom omer lo aseh kach. Umahar omer lo aseh kach. Hach omer lo avod avodah zarah. The Yetzirah is very, very patient. He's very slow. So he was telling him? He was telling him, now you only took money. But from this taking the money, you're going to take clothes, and you're going to end up taking houses, and you're going to take abadim, and shefahod. You think it's only one likiha? And that's why he told him in the Lashon, he said, ha'et lakahta et hakesef. He says, now you took money. But ve'lakahta. In the future, begadim, zetim, keramim, son, bakar, abadim. What do you think? You think the Yetzirah is finished with this over here? Yetzirah, you're on the road. You're on the road of greed. That's never going to end. It's not going to stop here. And that's why, if you look at the end of Parashat Shemini, which we read last week, when it talks about the Shiratzim, so the Pasuk says, do not defile yourself with all these shiratzim, v'nitmetembam, and you'll become impure. So the rabbis say that a person's metameh himself a little, that brings him to a lot of tumah. Starts with a little sheretz, he's metameh himself, but adam metameh atzmo melemata, kadosh baruch hu metameh oto melemata, which means it's going to lead. That's the lesson of the sheretzim. And huadim bekedusha, vitkadishtem, mitem kedushim. A person mekadesh himself a little, but what happens? Kedusha leads to more kedusha. So he told them, hey, you forgot the lesson of Shemona Sheratzim. We're learning Shemona Sheratzim over here. You forgot the lesson of Sheratzim, that when a person metameh himself a little, that the tum'ah grows. So you thought that you're just going to take a few dollars and your finger is going to stop over there. Now you came to the sugya of Shemona Sheratzim. That's what he was hinting to him. You forgot the rules of life that I taught you. Avera koredet avera. So he tells him, there's a big hadush. Tells him the tzara'at of Na'aman will go on you and your children. What did his children do? His children really did nothing. But Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky once said, today we have so many children in the yeshiva, how come we don't have all the Gedolei Hador? The yeshivas are filled with children. Where's all the Gedolim? He says, you know why? It's because when they send home the lunch form to the father, and the lunch form says, if you qualify for free government lunch, so they sign it, yeah, I qualify. So they're stealing the lunch. So all the food that the kids are eating is gezel. You will not have gedolei ador that come from food that they're eating is gezel. Pay the. You can afford it, you pay it. You think you can have gedolei ador that are raised on stolen food, on stolen money because you cheated on the sheet that you asked for tuition assistance, and you asked for tuition? Huh?
The father's fault has that on the.
That's a mitziut, but that's a fact. But fact, the kid's eating gezel. So when the kid gets older, he'll again tell his father off. But in the meantime, that's what happens. So the father wants to save a few bucks. So he lies on the tuition form. Yeah, I don't have any money and this and this and this and this. Or shikarim. So the tuition says, okay, take it for free. So there, somebody else is paying for it. But you're a gazdan, you're a shakran. So the whole education of the child is based on shekir. So he says, we can have gedolei ador based on gezel. That's what Yaakov Kamenetsky says. It's a strong line. So he says, Gehazi. He says, Gehazi, you know what you did now by stealing money from the goy Na'aman? You put yourself on the road of what? Of a gazlan. You know what that's going to do? It's going to ruin your children now. Now your children are going to get ruined because all of the education is going to come from gezel, and all the chinuch is going to come from gezel, and all, and therefore, the tzara'at that stuck on you, unfortunately, that sarat is going to affect the children, because whatever you're going to build for them in the house is built on gazlanut. And therefore, what happened to you is going to happen to the kids. The same thing. That's a musar he's giving the Navi. The musar is giving the Navi. You think a person steals in order to give his children a better life. Little does he know, he's ruining his children because of it. Down the road, he ruins them. He said, why my children all this? Because everything he gave them was based on chicken. He's stealing from the government, the guy's food stamps, and he lets Section 8 pay his mortgage, and he lets this one do everything, and meanwhile the guy has all money on the side, and he has money to go to Florida, and he has money to go to vacation, and that, but he comes to the thing, give me free milk, give me free cheese, wick, and haddy, and all that, and the kids are eating stolen food, and he's wondering, how come the kids are deadbeats? How come the kids are delinquent? So he said, you made a big mistake by stealing that money, Gehazi. Because as a result of stealing that money, that sara'at is going to have an effect on you and the children and the grandchildren forever. And there's a whole question of Gehazi even has a chelek la'olam haba. Some say Gehazi already he became from this he became such a rasha that eventually he lost everything. And like we read in Haftarah Mitzorah, which is tomorrow's Haftarah, there's four Mitzorahim sitting by the gate. It says, what's the Lashon of the Haftarah? You have Mitzorah in front of you? I have it. What does it say? Just read it. Stop. It says, and there were four Mitzorahim that were sitting Petah Hashar. So the Gemara says, who are these four Mitzorahim? Gehazi or Shloshet Banav? Miskinim. What was the problem with Gehazi in Abu Tayyib? How did he fall? He was a student of Elisha. They were learning Habruta, Shmona, Shiratzim together. This is very important to know how this could happen to a man that had a beard and a hat and he was religious. How could this happen to him? How could Gehazi all of a sudden get so turned on to the money? It says eventually he went partners with Yerovam ben Nevat and helped him in his Avodah Zarah. He touched a woman inappropriately, the Gemara says. I mean, he started doing stuff. I'm not going to elaborate. That's what it said in the Gemara. So now, what's the... ask yourself a question. What in the world? How in the world this happened over here? He's learning Torah. The Gemara says... Rishit Chochma Yirat Hashem. Before you open the book, you have to have fear of God. If you don't have fear of God, you could learn this book upside down, backwards and forwards, it's not going to change you, it's not going to do anything to you. The Gemara compares it. The Gemara says, somebody that learns Torah but doesn't have no fear of God, that means when nobody's watching, he does what he wants. Only when somebody's looking at him in the shul, oh, he sits there, oh, he shakes, he does, makes motions. But when nobody's around, he does what he wants. He steals, he's ashol, he's other. Nafirat shamayim. But he does the daf yomi every day. Doesn't matter, you do the daf 100 years, nothing will change you because you have no yirat shamayim. This book is a medicine. You know, certain medicines, they tell you, it only works on a full stomach, you have to eat first. This works only with yirat shamayim. Without Yirat Shamayim, it doesn't work, the book. The Gemara gives a mashal. The Gemara says like this. Mashal to somebody that learns without Yirat Shamayim. The Gemara gives a mashal to a person that has a gate and in the gate, he has a house. And there's two doors. There's a door at the gate, and there's a door to the house. So he says, and he only has the key to the house, but he doesn't have the key to the gate. So the Gemara says in Shabbat, Habal, woe to the guy that he has a key to the house, but he doesn't have a key to the gate. How's he going to get in? Behein Yehud. How's he going to get in? Means the house is the Torah. The gate is the Yirat Shamayim. But if you don't have the key to the gate to get in, so the Torah, they're not going to get into the Torah either. You understand what the mashal is? Yirat Hashem Yotzaro. Just like the gate protects the house, Yirat Hashem Yotzaro, that protects the Torah. But if you don't have the gate to get in, you don't have the key to get into Yirat Shamayim, so therefore you cannot get to the next. But I'm learning. You're not learning the how, you're learning something else. What you're learning? It's not the Torah that will protect you from Avera. But it says Torah Magna Umatzla, that's only with Yirat Shamayim. So it's not enough just to learn. We have to learn Musa. That's why we come every day and learn Musa. Musa gives us Yirat Shamayim. Learning. Not changing anybody. Of course not changing, because you're not learning Yirat Shamayim. And Yirat Shamayim to your learning? Now forget about it. Now you have, that's Elisha. So what does it say over here? The next Haftarah that we read tomorrow gives us how this happened to Gehazi. With all his learning. It says, Ba'arba'a mitzura'im yoshvim petach hashar. That was the problem. They were sitting in front of the gate. That means they didn't have the key to the gate. They never got into the gate of Yirat Shamayim. They were outside the gate. But they were learning. But they were learning outside the gate. And if you're learning outside the gate, petach hashar, because they didn't have the key. Once you didn't have the key, you could steal from a goy, you could push a lady, and you could go and make all the avirot in the world. It says to a certain degree, at a certain point, he became so demented, Gehazi, he would stand in front of the shiur of Elisha, outside, and as the students would come, he would tell them there's no more seats. Meanwhile, Elisha is wondering, where's all the talmidim? Nobody showed up. There's a guy outside standing. The rabbi's not here today. Oh, rabbi, there he goes. Goes. One guy shows up. Where's everybody? I don't know. Where's everybody? Also, they see the guy. Oh, they told me you were away. Who told you away? Gehazi was standing outside. He told everybody the rabbi's away. Gemara says, "Shamir usham, hotel mahati ta'am." Where did this come from? He was learning Shemona Shiratzim. He became the ninth Shiratz. How did it happen? Explanation is, "Barba'a misurahim yoshvim petach hashar." ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן ואמן. מי עלם אשר מהזבר גוש בו יסד. לפיך הגרבן, נזרח פסמן צדקו, ותודה בידי.